Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Katie's Crib. In this episode, we are going to tackle a very big topic that we've covered like in small ways throughout some of our earlier episodes. Here it is, you guys. What does it mean to be a mom? When our baby was born, so were our identities as moms. They were also born, and a lot of baggage comes with that. There are so many expectations for what kind of mom we're supposed to be, like based on society and culture and our relationship with our own moms and our own mother figures, and it is wonderful and scary and it's a super exciting journey, yes, and it will probably, well, it's never going to end. We know that. This journey is never going to end. So we're going to talk about the ideas of maternal instinct, like finding your inner mama bear and asserting yourself as a new mom and then a mom. That's like not so new. You're just a mom. That's your new identity out in the world. Whitney Port is here today to talk about this and her own experiences as a first-time mom. Welcome to Katie's Crib, Whitney Port. I am a huge fan.
Thank you.
I really think The Hills and the City may have been the first reality television show my husband and I really sunk our teeth in.
Really? Yeah. I watched so many reality TV. I mean, I used to when I was younger and I still do now. So it's funny that I actually ended up on a reality TV show.
I could do a whole podcast for 100 hours just on that entire experience. TV. Like my husband's like, why are you talking about mom shit? Can you just talk about The Hills and the City and Whitney Port? I can't believe you're in my house right now.
We can talk about as much as you want, seriously.
But I have a real thing with reality where like, I guess because they always used to make fun of me at ABC scandal events, like when The Bachelor and Bachelorette were there, I would lose my shit. It's like Brad Pitt could be there and I wouldn't give two shits, but like, oh my God, like a reality television, like that is a superstar to me.
I know,
because we're
I
in
feel
different
the same
businesses
way.
And I watch you and you're in my living room and I like know who you are as a person, but I kind of don't.
Yeah. There's like a weird level of intimacy you have with these people where you feel like you know them. So I feel the same way. I mean, I remember seeing someone from MTV's The Challenge. You watch that show?
My husband
Real
does.
World.
I do not, but
okay,
he does.
So I still watch that show. Been
so
a
does
fan
he.
Forever. And like, I remember seeing someone that was like a show staple, and I freaked out. I was like, oh my God! I would so much rather be seeing this person and going up and say hi to them than like,
you know, Cate Blanchett or something.
Yeah, like that's
yeah, okay. Great.
Like I maybe want to see what her skin looks like, yeah, but like yeah, other
totally.
Than that, I'm never gonna go have a conversation
totally
with her.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
You and I actually have, we both have sons.
Yes.
And they're kind of the same age.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's go back in time.
Okay.
To when you were pregnant. Like, how did you feel about becoming a mom? Were you excited? Were you scared? Was it something you always wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. It was not something that I always wanted to do, but because my husband really wanted it and I kind of like thought I wanted it, we just decided let's
jump
go
right
for
in.
It. But I didn't really realize like how fast it was going to happen, even though I understand science and biology. Like I went off my birth control and thought in my head, I was like, oh, 6 months, a year,
sure,
like I have some
sure
time. Literally within 2 months, I was pregnant. And I was just like, I was shocked. I was scared. I was like, is this even what I really want? And honestly, kind of scared to even tell my husband that because we had made the decision together already. So
right,
it was kind of too late for me to just go back on it, especially
yep
when he was the one that found the stick that said, I'm pregnant. And I saw his eyes light up.
Oh,
and
my
so,
God.
Yeah, it was really, really intense for me, like really throughout my whole pregnancy.
It was the whole, you were nervous. You didn't know if this was what you were. I kind of had a similar situation
yeah
where I just was so, I was scared too. My husband wanted it. I was like, I mean, I guess,
yeah,
I don't know.
Like, yeah.
And I sort of left it in fate's hands and I was completely terrified.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your pregnancy? Like, did you have a good pregnancy? Did the 10 months of being pregnant, was that enough time for you to wrap your brain around it? Or was it like, not until you met your son?
Did it actually hit me?
Yeah.
It wasn't until I met my son that it hit me. I also chose not to find out if it was a boy or a girl.
Oh my God, how cool.
Yeah, so it was really cool, but it also created this level of like, the unknown where I couldn't,
you weren't connected.
I wasn't attached mm-hmm. to it because mm-hmm. I couldn't picture it. We didn't have it, like the name. So part of me feels like while it was really fun and a fun surprise and like maybe I'd do it again if I do decide to have another kid, it also, I don't know, like maybe I did a disservice to myself to not have like tried to connect with
yeah,
him
you weren't
as much
like
as possible.
I was so, I found out the sex mostly because I wanted a girl so bad.
You did, yeah.
Yes, and
I didn't care.
Great.
But then when I saw the boy come out, I saw his like bright red testicles. Yeah. I was actually like so relieved.
Oh, see?
Like I was really like, oh my God, kind of thank God. And that's when I knew I'm like that. I obviously wanted a boy, but I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I opened up an envelope that he was a boy, and I started sobbing. And I was like, oh shit, I like really wanted a girl. So I was kind of relieved I found out, only because I was able to change the narrative and start imagining
what life would be
what
like with
my
him.
Family will look like with a son.
Yeah. I had a friend that decided to do a gender reveal at a baby shower, at her baby shower, and she was like, she was set that she was having a girl. She was like convinced she was having a girl. And they did the gender reveal and it was a boy. And she just started crying hysterically in front of all of her friends and family.
That is a scene we have not yet seen in a film. And let it be said here that it should be. That's fucking hilarious.
I know. She was mortified. She felt awful.
Okay. Now here comes your son, Sonny.
Yes. Yes.
How were your first few months? Did you connect? I know you said maybe in pregnancy you weren't as connected right away. Did you feel connected to him? Was it a more of a slow burn? Did you feel that sort of maternal? Have you always been a maternal person? Like, do you have nieces and nephews or dogs?
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Like,
you know,
it comes out in different ways.
It's interesting because I really haven't been a maternal person ever. I'm one of five kids. Four of us are girls. I would say my three other sisters are extremely maternal. And whenever I'm with them, I feel like they're always taking care of me. Like I forget, I'm the kind of person that like—
Where are you in the lineup of the sisters?
I'm the second sister.
Oh.
Everyone has just always been looking after me. And so I've never naturally had that maternal instinct. And I think that's part of subconsciously what I was scared of was like, was I ever going to have that? And would I ever really connect with Sunny on that level that most people do? Never had pets. Love my nieces and nephews, but I'm not the kind of person that goes out of my way to like see them or buy totally. Them gifts or,
I love this.
You know what I mean?
I fucking
like that's
love
just
this.
Not me.
But I love that this is like, because I do feel like there are a lot of women in the world who are just like, you know, that I have a lot of really good girlfriends who are just like, they're just like not really the maternal people.
Yeah. And like I do maternal things to Sunny. Like I'm very conscious of what he's eating, when he's eating. Like I never want him to be hungry. I never want him to be cold. Like I never want him to be ignored. There's obviously things that I think are maternal, but on like a large scale, I would not classify myself as a very maternal energy.
Would you say that... going back to this question, do you feel connected to him right away?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, okay, no, I should.
I didn't
so
at all.
When I first was with him in the hospital for the first couple days, I felt extremely connected to him. I was like awake every second, staring at him, like his livelihood just consumed me. And then I went home and I started to have all these issues with breastfeeding. And I had a night nurse too. And I kind of was like, can you just deal with him? Like,
we
I
had
couldn't.
A fucking similar, that was very similar to my experience.
Yeah.
But keep going. So you had.
So it was excruciatingly painful to breastfeed. I resented the time with him because it mostly meant that I needed to be feeding
is
him.
Fucking painful and terrible.
Exactly. And I was just like, I just couldn't. I couldn't connect because
it
was
pissed and sad and upset and
exactly.
it was fucking painful. And
exactly.
you were like counting down the minutes to when it was time to feed again. And you were almost like, oh no, like I don't even want this to come.
Exactly. Like I just kind of wanted to escape. Even though I had crazy thoughts like of what could possibly ever happen to him. Like, I went, you know, when you sometimes think like the craziest
darkest shit. Well,
things.
You're literally insane. Your hormones are raging.
Yeah. So like,
you've just gone through a physical trauma unlike anything you've ever done. And then you're just supposed to be okay. No,
yeah.
Like the craziest
the
thoughts
craziest
are coming
things.
Yeah. I was like getting on a plane, leaving, starting a new life. I was like, peace the fuck out. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I'm getting on a plane. I was like in Scandal Land. I was like, I'm going to Europe. I'm getting a European boyfriend. My vagina will heal.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have sex with someone
else.
My
name, yeah. Who I am, where
I'm
I come
leaving.
From. Yeah, it was, but then thoughts also of like things happening to him that were so scary where
he's
I like
die.
Would reassure myself that, okay, I do really love him and want him as my baby because I am so scared of these things happening, which is a crazy thought that like that doesn't just come naturally.
Sure.
So it really wasn't until I stopped breastfeeding at 6 months that I feel like I could really connect with him. And more around that time, like 10 months, when they actually start
really responding
and having
a personality of their own.
And not it just being like me giving all the time and getting nothing in return. Mm-hmm. And like even now I struggle with that a little bit. Like, I feel like I will really thrive as a mom when I can actually have conversations with him.
I say this to people all the time who are like upset about, oh, my husband is not great at this or not great at that, or my partner is not great at this or I'm not great at this. And I say, well, you know, I think everyone's going to excel at different moments. Like some people might be so obsessed with babies and some people might be so obsessed with toddlers. And then some people are going to kick ass with teenagers. Like they're going to be really good at like sitting down and navigating some fucking difficult emotional development.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
I think
it's
that's
like,
great.
Yeah. And it's also the physicality of being a mom that
are you
really
cuddly with
hard.
Him?
I'm not. He doesn't really want to cuddle with me very much. Like, he's a very busy boy. Like, he's not like a super cuddly guy. But I just more mean like the getting him in the car seat and carrying him everywhere and like chasing after him and, you know, all of that's keeping him busy all the time. Like, I just get so worn out from that.
It's
so worn
exhausting.
Out. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's exceptions to the rule, but I think you and I, like, we are both with toddler boys and it is fucking full on.
Full
like,
on.
I
You're
have
just trying
so
to keep
many
them
girls
alive
with
at all times.
Little baby girls and they come over a lot in this playroom that we're currently sitting in. And the girls will, and I want to do a podcast about this, but there are just gender things at this age, you know, where little girls can sit with one toy for a minute. And like, my son is flinging shit like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And just like always in a new area of the house, like running around all over the place. It's, yeah, we just took him to Mexico this past week.
How'd that
and
go?
I mean, it was.
She just eye rolled for you
sorry.
Guys listening.
Honestly,
greatest trip to Mexico your whole life.
Yeah, right. Had nannies that helped us out so we could like get out to go to dinner.
But
and
see,
stuff,
that's
but,
so. I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah,
like So there are maternal women, you would say, who would even be like nervous about leaving their child with a hotel nanny.
Oh
like,
yeah,
my
I'm
mother
like,
would be like, we can't leave the baby with someone
my
we just
too.
Met.
My mom said,
but so you don't have that.
No,
you're completely fucking cool with it.
I'm like, yeah, I just have. I'm not really scared of that stuff. Like, I'm the kind of person that doesn't, like, doesn't set the alarm in our house, even though we need to. Like, it's not good. My mom is very scared by how trusting I can be, and same with my sisters. But she was like, so, I understand you're maybe going to get some help while you're in Mexico.
Yeah.
But, like, are you going to have a nanny around the pool too? Or is it just going to be you guys watching him around the pool? And I was like, first of all, I didn't even really think about that. And secondly, like, maybe, like, she can probably swim. And, so, you know, like, it's just I am very, very trusting. And I think that because I'm that way, Sunny is able to just, like, be with anyone at all times.
How great is that?
Yeah, it's very freeing for me.
Is your husband, you're married?
Yes.
Is your husband super maternal, cuddly?
Very.
Caretaker?
Very.
Like, mama bear? Have you felt?
Very much so.
So he might outweigh a little bit of your.
Yes. He takes, like, he can be with Sunny for like 10 hours straight and not complain about it. And, or I'll be like, I have work tomorrow, you know, we don't have anybody to look after Sunny. Are you going to be okay? He's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, oh God, if I, like, if I, I just, I know this sounds awful, but I just can't be with him like all the time.
I just learned this. Yeah. I think I've talked about it. We just did an episode on the podcast with entrepreneurial moms, which you are one of.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about your business. One of your many businesses. You do a lot of different things, but it was a whole podcast about moms who started businesses when they got pregnant or with small babies that are super successful. And I was talking to them about, I just learned, like, my nanny was sick for 5 days. I was a stay-at-home mom for 5 days. I canceled my entire life. It was
brutal.
Misery.
Yeah.
I mean, oh God, that's so dramatic. There's real shit going on in the world. Yeah. Obviously, we know that. And that is of someone's very small, limited perspective.
Yeah.
But I just mean, like, it's the hardest fucking job in the world. I've never looked so tired. Mm-hmm. I've never felt so tired. Mm-hmm. And what I said to my husband after those 5 days, I was like, we have to make enough money as a living to be able to always have someone helping with our kid, because I get so much out of my life from working.
Yeah.
And I'm such a better mom.
Yeah.
When I'm his mom part
time. That's the big thing, is that I feel guilty about complaining, but it's like, I can't deny that this is how I feel. Like, we cannot shut that out.
Nope.
And it's also okay to want to do both things, and maybe even one a little bit more than the other.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean you love your kid any less, or absolutely, you love your kid less than your work, but like, you just have to figure out a way where you can feel equally fulfilled by both.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a moment where, like, a mama bear, has any sort of mama bear? I know you're not the most maternal person, which I love and I think is a very valuable perspective to listen to on this podcast, because mm-hmm. I think I have a lot of mom friends that are similar. Like, I kiss my son too much.
Yeah.
Like, it is.
I mean, I kiss
him. I'm smothering.
Yeah.
It's bad. And then I have girls that are just like, that's not the language with which they communicate with their son. And it's beautiful and valid and wonderful. And a maternal instinct is not something I would ever describe them in the dictionary having.
Yeah.
But you could still be a mom.
Yeah,
and you can
totally
be a fucking kick-ass
and you can
mom.
Be an amazing mom. It's
yes.
just not in my nature. I mean, and I smother him too, but there's so many different layers of being maternal.
Totally.
And I think that there's like
how
an obvious
picture. How are ways
that
you
picture.
Do it, you think?
I think that I just always want to, like, just set him up for success. Like, I always want him to be...
Here's how you show it, how you said. You already kind of said it. You're like, he always has to be fed.
Yeah.
He has to have the right clothing on for the weather.
Right.
Like, that's important to you. It's
totally.
Important that he's never hungry.
He needs
he's
to have,
always
like,
a sweater on.
Right. Like, I need him to have a certain amount of, like, activity, mm-hmm. like one-on-one time with me, activity outside. Like, I'm always thinking about his day and that it's full and how he can be happiest, what makes him happiest.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about when I think I already asked this, but again, like, have you ever had like a mama bear instinct where you just were gonna fucking kill someone? Because the first time that came out in me, I was shocked.
Oh, because of something that they did to Sunny?
Did, or like... for me, it was the first time, again, I didn't really feel it took me a long time to feel connected to my son. And I think similarly in your case, I had a lot of trouble breastfeeding for a long time.
Yeah.
It was so painful.
Yeah.
Awful. And I was crying a lot
and
I didn't know why. And I'm a generally happy, like, glass half full person. And I was not waking up on that side of the bed. So it felt very much not like myself.
Yeah.
For a long time. But I can remember when I went back to work and I watched my nanny, who is like my fucking soulmate through this fire that we're walking through right now and I love so much. But the first time, and I've told you this, so I'm not talking shit about you, Miriam, I love you. But the first time I ever watched him give him a bath, I thought I was going to like hurt her. Like, I just was so like, please don't touch my baby. He's
really?
Mine. Like, this is not your department.
Yeah.
Like, this is mine. Get off of him. And it was just something primal fucking cavewoman shit that I was just like, whoa, like I'm never like a violent, I've never hit someone, I've never been hit. Like I'm just not a violent person, but I've had it a few times when things were really new and people's firsts, my firsts were being done by somebody else because
right.
I was working.
Right.
My husband had it come out the first time he ever tried ice cream was also with Miriam.
Oh my God.
And I thought my husband was going to fucking kill someone
yeah.
because my husband's favorite dessert that goes back to his family. Like they've had ice cream every night with his dad and his
yeah.
mom. And that is like a major Shapiro tradition. And we got a text message from Miriam that was a photo of Albie in Central Park having a vanilla ice cream cone with Miriam, and he'd never tried ice cream before. And I thought Adam was going to cry. He's only cried 3 times in 13 years. But he was like, that was my experience. Like it was craziness.
Yeah.
Have you felt some of that?
I haven't had moments like that. I've had moments like, because he's at school now and like there's a little girl that will hit him or people that won't share with him, like little kids, where I'm like,
ooh.
Yeah, like I wish that I could just like, you know.
Get your kid in line,
yeah,
parents.
Exactly,
like
right.
don't touch my fucking
exactly.
kid.
Exactly, like go discipline, like go. But other than that, no, I haven't had a moment where I'm like,
but it's
I mean,
coming.
Thank God. Yeah, I mean, no, it's definitely coming.
And maybe it will feel, I think we're going to be walking through this together and how crazy and hard it's going to be. But like the first time your kid gets his feelings hurt
or bullied, I'll die.
Is a term which, you know, is normal and healthy and they need to get pushed down in order to learn how to get back up. And
for
it's very
sure.
important. But like how heartbroken, I mean, I'm going to die.
I'll freak out. I know. I can't imagine that. I cannot. Seeing him cry because he has his feelings hurt. Like right now he only cries because like he doesn't want to get his diaper changed, you know? It's going to be so complex.
Do you feel... are you a mom that I have moms that when their kid cries, they're like, it's fine, like toughen up, or does it break your heart? Do you feel?
No, I don't. It's honestly if I feel like he's in pain or something, then that breaks my heart. But if he's crying because he's in a bad mood and
he's just being frustrated. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, it's okay. Like I've tried to teach him this deep breath thing that
Ooh,
I think calms him down. But yeah. Yeah.
Like, has he had temper tantrums yet?
Not bad.
Probably
he's just like
so
impossible
chill.
To take anywhere. Like if I go to the market with him, he doesn't want to sit in the
stroll in the grocery cart,
and he like does that
straightens your whole body into
yeah, exactly.
a board so you
I'm
can't lift him up.
Exactly.
Oh, God,
and like
that's the worst.
Like scream and
I've
stiffen
heard they
up.
Do that when they decide they don't want to be in the car seat anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I have those moments with him, but nothing where like he's on the floor crying hysterically in public.
Great. My kid has he just starts hitting his head on a floor. He goes down to
my
the floor
used
and just
to do
starts
that.
Going like this and
yeah.
like crying and being super dramatic. It's insane.
But
and I just let him do it.
Yeah, you have
I'm
to.
I'm like, ride it out, honey.
Yeah.
Like I
if
don't
that's
know what
to
tell you.
That's what it makes
you feel
better. Out. Yeah.
Fine by me.
Yeah.
Basically, what we're talking about is discovering your identity as a mom. You know, like we're talking about all these different sort of things that moms either have had for a long time, like I've always been a touchy-feely person, or you're not, or you're someone that mama bear is like a real thing for you, or
yeah.
you're not. A lot of times people talk about being a mom in a negative or an uncool way, like mom jeans or mom hair, or like I remember when I was pregnant and I was so freaked out about getting a shorter haircut, even though it's like what I wanted to do, but I was like so scared about looking like a soccer mom. Like
yeah.
I just was like all of a sudden it became all about the fucking haircut.
Yeah.
And I was so freaked out
even
about
though
looking
a short
like a mom.
Is like such
so
a chic,
oh,
modern,
and it was
beautiful
like my
thing.
Favorite cut I've ever had. And the whole time I was like, oh my God, like we're never gonna have sex again. Your amazing company, Bundle Organics, which I want to talk about. It's a business that's pushing back against this idea. Now, you're someone in the spotlight who is very beautiful.
Thank you.
And you have always been a part of like fashion and photographs and people are looking to you. Did you have any sort of identity or mom shift or worry that like, oh my God, I'm going to be a mom now. People aren't going to think I'm sexy. Or how
yeah.
do I battle that stigma?
I definitely thought that. I mean, I thought once you become a mom, everyone just only sees you as a mom. And that's when I feel like I walked into any room. It was just like, oh, here's the new mom. But that I think goes away if you will take that like label off yourself. Like I think that comes from within of us saying like, let's change the narrative in our own brains and figure out how to see ourselves as
sexy and cool.
Other things besides mom. And that, like, I did this thing on my Instagram where it was like hashtag what I wore, because I was getting into this terrible phase where I was literally succumbing to my exhaustion and not putting myself together, wearing disgusting sweats every day, like even walking out of the house in that. I mean, I'm kind of doing it today, so I shouldn't really say I'm out of it. My husband calls this my millennial sweatshirt.
I'm obsessed with you guys. Yeah. So, you know, it's like sort of, it's a champion sweatshirt with cherries on it.
Yeah.
It's so cute. I like can't wait to get that. That's a millennial sweatshirt in.
Yeah, I stole it from my younger sister. So, I decided
what
I wore. Yeah. So I just said, I was like, I'm giving myself 30 days to like each day put myself together, because I love fashion. I really do love putting myself together. Mm-hmm. I think it's not a shallow thing. I think it can be looked at as like a way to express your personality.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and I did feel so much better about myself afterwards. Wow. And I like reconnected to who I was before. I was just a mom, and I think people saw that for me as well. And like now I can get ready, and I do feel sexy. I mean, there's part of me that's like, sometimes I think, do people see me in a different way? Like, am I as sexy as I was before? And then I'm like, does it really even matter?
No. I mean, I hope not.
Yeah.
Because I'm the same fucking boat.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt the same way. Like audition, you know, I'm so fortunate that I've literally only worked for women bosses for a good 8 years.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, but I hear about this other sort of Hollywood where like, yeah, like if you were going to be considered for like sexy parts, like you better not be a fucking mom or have like responsibilities like that or...
But I think that is changing because I think that everybody... I don't know. I think being a mom is like kind of a quote, like trendy thing now. And I think being like a young, stylish, cool mom is like on trend.
And you look at these women who had like the Reese Witherspoons or the Kate Hudsons, like, oh my God, they have like 20-year-old children.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Right.
And I think they're a good example. They were doing this a long ass time ago and they look great.
Yeah. I stopped also following people that were a lot younger than me because I felt like that was really detrimental. Like,
good
I was
on
following,
you.
I'm sorry, I love Gigi Hadid, I love Bella, I think these girls are gorgeous, Kendall Jenner, blah blah blah.
Yes.
I think they're all gorgeous, but I think I was looking at them being like, why, like I want to look like them, and it made me feel
there.
And I'm like, but they're also 15 years younger
than
me.
You have
me.
To follow
so,
people
like,
that are on their like going on their 40th birth. This is what inspires
to
me
to make yourself feel
no like yeah. That like okay, Busy Phillips was on this podcast, and she is a very good friend, and she has her 40th birthday coming up, and I've known Busy for fucking 15 years. She looks better and hotter and sexier than she's ever looked, and I'm talking like in shallow ways, but also her brain and her mind and her like life experience.
Yes.
I love following her, or I love following just these women that are like, Anjali Cabral was on this. She just had her 40th birthday. She looks amazing, and she has a kid. But I find it better, and I think social media is fucking huge, and it's obviously huge in your industry.
Yes.
And mine.
Yes.
But to follow these women who are like looking better than they've ever looked, and they're celebrating their like 40, 45th, 50th birthdays, and they're with their kids, and they're like in bikinis, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm not just gonna dry up.
Right.
Like dead somewhere in a
totally,
ditch.
Totally, totally.
Is your body completely different than what it was before you had a baby? Like people say, not better or worse, but like things are in different places.
Yeah.
Really weird. I have found that. Like I used to hate my ass and now it's not. It's fine. Now it's my stomach. I don't know.
Yeah, because you shifted it from one
I guess so.
Negative to another, I guess. But like, no, I used to love my boobs. I used to think I had great boobs.
Bye-bye.
I think my husband thought I had great boobs. Now he refuses to tell me that they're not the same, but they are not
the same. Oh, but God bless him. You married the right man.
Yeah. He's like, I can't tell. I'm like,
so does my husband, by the way. But they're different
so
makeup.
They're so much droopier.
Mine too.
They're so much like, they're not as full. My nipples
they're not
are like
anymore.
More 3D. Yeah, and then also, I mean, there's like my belly button really bothers me. Like that, I think it's so shallow to even say that out loud. It's
no,
a ridiculous thing, but
no.
My belly button is like saggy
stretched
and
out
big and like gross. And I'm just like, is there anything I can do for that?
Yes, there is. If it ever bothers you that much, there totally is. But and I support women in whatever they want to do to make themselves feel better always.
Yeah.
But, I'm also brought to this story of Busy Phillips because we were at a pool party And this was years ago. And she was in a bikini, and there was another actress there who had also had two babies and did not get the sort of stomach skin that some women get.
Yeah.
And Busy was in a bikini, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. She was like fucking shredding around. Bless her for being so confident and amazing and beautiful. She looked great, but she was like in a bikini, and she was just like, I pushed fucking two babies out without drugs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so proud. And I just was like, I pray I'm like that.
That you
like,
have that confidence.
Like, yeah. I mean, I gave up bikinis in high school.
Yeah. But before you even had kids.
Oh my God. Bye. Like, it's just every year something else goes. Like, yeah. I'm close to letting go of tank tops altogether.
Oh, I hate tank tops.
I don't care.
I've never been into tank tops. It's I not, hate
I'm ter-
tank tops.
I look terrible in them.
I do
bye.
Too.
Love a sleeve. Love a full sleeve. Love
same.
A poofy
a puppy
sleeve.
Sleeve.
Yeah. I'm all of that.
For
looks
sure.
So great.
Makes the rest of your arm look super slender.
Tell me about Bundle Organics and how you battle or take any of this stuff into consideration.
Yeah. Well, Bundle Organics was
being
born...
a mom is actually something that, like, not only has your identity shifted as a mom and you're battling this sort of like, I'm a mom and I'm hot and I'm a business owner and I work with businesses and I'm also going home to my kid and I'm a working mom.
Yeah.
Now you're actually working with like mom product stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, that's also another thing. It's like, oh, am I just now like a mommy blogger? And I'm like, no, I shouldn't think of it that way. Like, I'm just talking about what's actually going on in my life. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really serve me to put myself in like a box. But Bundle was born out of just a need to fulfill women on like a nutritional level because our lives are so insane, and sometimes the last thing that we're thinking about is what we're putting in our body when really what we're putting in our body is like one of the most
should
important
be everything.
Things
yeah.
because we're fueling ourselves for the energy that we need to like deal with all this craziness. Mm-hmm. So Bundle started as a pasteurized juice and tea company because mm-hmm. when you're pregnant, you're not supposed to drink
juices because they're unpasteurized, right?
So we were like, how can we, like, let's create something that's pasteurized, but it still is like low in sugar, has nothing added, like
what
organic everything.
I didn't know about this when I was pregnant. This is amazing.
So we did that, and then we got acquired. We were in Target. We got acquired by a larger company that's based in Boulder that is really devoted to providing clean products for the home. They do snacks, they do cleaning products. And so they acquired Bundle and created this whole line, like 24 products of snacks and teas and bars and bites.
Get the fuck
and
out
like
of here.
Smoothie powders and like fizzy drink mix, all with like organic, amazing ingredients for each specific phase of like pregnancy that you're in. So like the first phase is fertility. So we give you like, let's say you're really nauseous, like the ginger bump start tea that's like has
makes
folic acid in it too. Yeah. Like it has things that your prenatal vitamins would have in it. So that's Bundle. It's
so
really
there's
amazing.
Teas,
juices
snacks.
are right now, they were became really expensive to produce. So we're finding a new manufacturer for those, but there's teas, there's protein powder for smoothies, fizzy drink mix. It's basically like an emergency that you just pour in water.
Bars, you said?
Bars and bites.
What are the bites?
The bites are delicious. I should have brought you some.
I can't
so
wait.
Ridiculous.
Well, thank God I know you now. I'm excited.
Yeah, they're so delicious. I was like so anal about all the flavors. There's like white chocolate almond, quinoa cashew, cherry.
So do you just
pistachio.
Feel really passionate about this sort of...
I'm just such a snacker. Like,
me
I just
too.
Need snacks in my life at all times in order to just survive.
Survive, for sure.
And especially as a mom. And so, yeah, I just feel passionate to be able to provide that for other people because it's so simple. It's something so simple. You can give it to your kid, too. It's, like, so
well, that's
clean.
The other thing. I can't eat anything in front of my kid without him then asking
wanting
to also
it.
Eat it.
Yeah.
So if I knew that it was something that was also safe, healthy, nutritionist, nutrition...
You don't want to just give them. I mean, if Sunny was starving and there was a Kind bar laying around, like I'd give him the Kind bar. But this, you know, like
how long have you been on this?
So I started working with Bundle when I was in my first trimester, or second trimester of pregnancy. So it's been like almost, it's been 2 years now, two
this
and a half years.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, going back to this like mom identity stuff? Did you ever breastfeed in public?
No.
Yeah. Was it because you're a celebrity?
I stopped breastfeeding after a couple weeks and exclusively pumped.
Oh, there you go.
Because it was so too painful for me and the pump felt better. Granted, the pump was awful because I got mastitis 3 times because it doesn't like drain you as well.
Nope.
But I never breastfed in public because I stopped breastfeeding. Yeah.
I breastfed in public all the time. And
you felt okay with it?
Well, much thanks to this podcast because I was really weirded out by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I wish I wasn't, but I'm being completely honest with you.
Because it's so not weird.
It's so not,
you know, like it's so
I natural. Wish we were so, no, it's amazing. And I wish we lived in a country where it was so
accepted.
You know, I have images of like French women just fucking tit out everywhere.
Yeah.
But like I also just felt, you know, when I go out in public, people talk about me and point anyway because yeah. they're Scandal fans. So yeah. I just felt like it was like just an extra layer of like, okay, now Scandal fans are going to see that I have
right.
inverted dark colored
right,
nipples.
Right, right,
like,
right, right.
I don't know, and they're hairy and today. Like, what's the fucking
yeah.
thing? And I just was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But then Kristen Bell came on the podcast and was like, so fucking I Am Woman, hear me roar. Like, she just breastfed fucking everywhere and
yeah.
gave zero shits. And I was like,
good for you.
It was the inspiring.
Yeah.
She's a good one for you to follow too.
Okay, amazing.
Oh, she's
I'll
amazing mom.
Okay.
Like amazing mom. That's
Does she have
one.
Two kids or one kid?
Two.
Two. Okay.
But very inspiring.
Yeah.
But that really helped me.
Yeah, it is really inspiring to see other people that you admire do things. Like it's not just because we feel insecure and we only will do what other people are doing, but it's just...
No, it gives me that, like, extra...
That extra push to do it. Yeah.
Have you found yourself being more assertive since you're now a mom? Has it changed you in your work?
Yeah,
in your relationships?
I just have more... I have less patience with little things. I'm like, I feel like I'm shorter on email. I'm like, let's just get to the point or let's just get this done.
How fucking great is that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
We
I think it puts
like
a lot
that.
Of things into perspective. I don't want to go back and forth a million times. I want to just be like, this is my worth. And if you
yes
are
or
cool
no.
with it, great. No, fine. If not, because my time is like
valuable.
Too precious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very true. And
yeah.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a specific time when you felt like you were changing as a woman, maybe standing up for yourself or speaking out in a way that you wouldn't have before becoming a mom? Maybe it's this sort of situation where like someone asks something of you, which I actually was going to bring up. And
yeah.
I don't know if you felt like this. I'm getting the vibe that you were.
Yeah.
Before being a mom, would you have sent emails and stuff like that, like a lot more people pleasy, go back and forth,
I was
explaining
much more
yourself,
people-pleasy, always.
Always like giving reasons for everything.
Yeah.
This is me too.
Yeah. So I was very much like that. And I just wanted to like always do a good job. And I cared so much about what other people thought of me. And I just wanted to be known as like the nice, agreeable person. And I really ran into this after Sunny when we started filming The Hills again. And they wanted me to hold, production wanted me to hold Tuesday through Saturday, every week, just completely hold it, not book anything for 3 months, 5 days. And without any, like, I wouldn't know until the night before what my schedule was. And I was like, I want to be able to do this for you guys because you're paying me and I'm a part of the show, but like I just can't be that flexible. And so I really started to push back with that, and then I felt like I was being difficult, like I was this difficult brat, and that is hard for me to like think
make
about
demands
myself. Yeah. And not know if they're valid, you know, like is that too much to ask to
I don't think so
like
to know your schedule. No.
It's like how far in advance is realistic for me to get that? You know, those are things now that I'm like, that I struggle with.
And you put your foot down and you are exploring more about being.
I'm exploring. I
you're
don't
exploring.
Always.
You don't know. I'm
yeah.
exploring too.
Yeah.
I'm in the exploratory phase as well.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it would be harder for me. Like, again, because I've worked for women for 8 years, you know, they came to me and they
get
were like,
it
and
more.
Here's your trailer for your son. And I was like, I get that.
That's amazing.
Or like, here's the Shondaland kids playroom. I get that. Like, I wouldn't I think I would have been pressured and pushed to have to stand up for myself more and for my son and for my new role as mom more than I've had to. But it's important that you do those things because those producers, the next time they're working with the mom, hopefully they're going to think and say, oh shit, like we might have to work a little bit harder to get her schedule in advance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like you have to make those moves and you have to make those waves, even though it might not sit right with you that someone's going to think you're more difficult than you used to be or time is different. But, you know, we have to think about those little 15, those girls that are 15 years younger than us.
Yeah. Exactly.
And what they're going to be doing. Kendall's going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're going to be fine.
Totally.
So on this same sort of theme that you're providing so many great resources for moms out there, are there any resources that you use? Are there apps, books that you, like one thing, a TV show, something that really helped you
get
with
through
your mom identity or helped you with your son? Or
so I didn't really read anything very much. The one thing, the one person that I think has been the biggest savior for me is this sleep consultant. Her name is Alana McGinn, and she runs Good Night Sleep Site. And I started working with her. She reached out to me just via social media when I was starting to wonder when I should be sleep training and figuring out schedules. And so I started working with her. And I have listened to everything she's told me to do, and I have like a magical sleeper.
Baby.
Yeah. And so,
which is such a key.
It's huge. It was like everything for me. I felt like I could figure out everything else, but sleep is such a science, and I need it. Like, I really need it. And so, I needed to figure it out. And that has been really instrumental for me.
That's great.
Yeah. Other than that, like, I have also, my mom used to be a toddler transition teacher at a temple, Wilshire Boulevard Temple in LA.
What's a toddler transition?
So it's like the phase before nursery school. They like go to a class for 6 months.
Okay, right. Like a toddler mommy and me sort of program.
Exactly, exactly. So she taught that, and she taught that with this partner. Her name is Ziva, who's a child development specialist. And I meet with her also like every couple months, and she takes a look at Sunny, and she just like reassures me of certain things or gives me tips of other things that, so like I've enlisted a certain like set of experts to help me instead of just like listening to all the noise and social media
your
accounts
village are actual people that know what they're talking about.
Yeah, like people that I have like
that's why I have
connections
this podcast
to. Yeah,
because so I literally have people have people on of like that wrote the books that I'm interested in helping me raise my son. Last but not least, do you have any advice for women who may be struggling with their identities as new moms, or any advice in general?
I think the best advice that I was getting when I was having like issues with the breastfeeding and wondering if my life will ever be enjoyable again or like if I'll ever have freedom again was that everything is really just a phase. And sometimes the phases are longer than others. So like don't expect for them to go away overnight, or some phases, one phase will end and then a worse one will come. Like, but just know that everything is a phase, and that in my opinion, for me, it has gotten easier the older they've become, the more independent and self-reliant they are. Mm-hmm. And I think also accepting help. I think whether it's paying for help, dropping them off at daycare, asking for help from your family, I think that's so important that we have like solo time, whether we're working moms or not. Like, I just don't think it's healthy. I don't think attachment parenting is healthy for anybody in the family.
I agree.
Yeah.
Whitney Port, it is so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet
face
you.
Face to face in the flesh.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for The Hills to be back on TV. That's
pretty,
what it is, right?
Yeah. Okay, the Hills New Beginnings.
Excuse me. The Hills New Beginnings.
It's ridiculous.
I cannot wait.
Thank you.
I cannot wait to crush bundle fucking
I'm gonna
fizzy drinks.
Yeah, I'm going to drop you off a care package.
Bites. Yeah. Whatever.
Because you don't have to be pregnant or breastfeeding. They're good no matter what.
I'm
just housed the whole bag yesterday.
Where do you find them online?
So yeah, they're Bye Bye Baby online.
Oh great.
Target and Thrive Market right now.
Good on you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Katie's Crib. You guys, this is it. This is our last episode of the season. Isn't that crazy? But do not worry, okay? We are gonna be back in a little while with more episodes because come on, you know it. Honestly, there is so much more to explore, to talk about, and to share. Make sure you're subscribed to Katie's Crib and check us out on shondaland.com to catch up on every episode. Oh, and follow Katie's Crib on Twitter and Instagram so you're the first to know about season 3. Thank you to all of our amazing and brilliant guests this season. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show and for sharing all of your personal stories and experiences. And thank you. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for subscribing, for sharing Katie's Crib with your friends and family. It means so much to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are the best.